Let us pray. Eternal God, lover of our souls, we come to you this morning, hungering for honesty instead of corruption, for generosity instead of greed. We come hungering for our neighbors to be fed, and for all to have enough honest work to provide for the basic needs of their family. We come hungering for your words, telling us how to participate in your great work of recreation. We come listening, praying, that we will have the courage to respond. Speak, Lord, we are listening. Amen. The Old Testament, a reading from 1 Samuel. The boy Samuel was serving God under Eli's direction. This was at a time when the revelation of God was rarely heard or seen. One night, Eli was sound asleep. His eyesight was very bad. He could hardly see. It was well before dawn. The sanctuary lamp was still burning. Samuel was still in bed in the temple of God, where the chest of God rested. Then God called out, "Samuel, Samuel." Then he ran to Eli, saying, "I heard you call, here I am." Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so he did. God called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli, "I heard you call, here I am." This all happened before Samuel knew God for himself. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. God called again, "Samuel," the third time. Yet again Samuel got up and went to Eli, "Yes, I heard you call me, here I am." So Eli directed Samuel, "Go back and lie down. If the voice calls again, say, 'Speak, God, I am your servant, ready to listen.'" Samuel returned to his bed. Then God came and stood before him exactly as before, calling out, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, I am your servant, ready to listen." The word of life. Please stand for the Psalter. Psalm 139, found in the blue hymnal on page 854. You have searched me and known me. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You pursue me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Amen.
Once there was a man who said such wonderful things and did such amazing things that people asked him who he was, and he answered them, "I am the light of the world." Hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ from the first chapter of John, beginning at the 43rd verse. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He met Philip and said, "Come and follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip went to Nathanael and said, "We have found the Lord, the one in whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote. He is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael answered, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Now, as Nathanael left his spot under the fig tree and came towards Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael looked at him and said, "Where did you know me from?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael said, "You are the one, the Holy One of God, the King of Israel." And Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because I saw you under the tree? You will see far greater things than these. Truly, I tell you, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I feel very far away from you, so I'm going to come to you. We are standing in the light of the Epiphany season. Epiphany comes from a Greek word that means showing or manifestation or revelation. It's bright, bright light. And in the light, we are invited to see. And the first thing that we see is the way God has come close to us. God loves us so much and wants to be part of us so much that God sent God's Son to us. And in the light of Epiphany, we see him in the manger with his mother. We hear his cries. We hold him in our arms. God is that close to us. And Psalm 139 that we read the first part of this morning tells us just how deeply and how intimately and how with all of our senses God loves us. We hear that God knows when we rise up and when we sit down. And when we speak, God knows what's on our tongue. God knows what's in our hearts. God is that close. In the part of the psalm that we didn't read, we're told that it's God who forms our inward parts and who knits us together in our mother's womb. And I just love that image. It's so hands-on. And that's what we see in all of the lessons today. All of the lessons are about our senses and what we are asked to do with them and how we know God through them. It's particularly about sight and knowing and hearing and responding to call. Light is what we first hear, or the lack thereof, in the first lesson from Samuel, we're told, first of all, that the word of the Lord and visions of the Lord were rare in Israel at that time. Then we meet Eli, who we are told his sight is growing dim. And we get more light. We're told that the lamp that burns from sundown to sunrise in front of the Holy of Holies is still lit, and it's still dark. But that light is going to slowly fade as the dawn breaks. And in that moment, Samuel hears a voice. Now, he's not expecting to hear God. He's really sure that the person he heard was Eli. So he goes to Eli, and he tells him, "Here I am." And Eli sends him back to bed. And this goes on three more times. Samuel hears a voice. He goes to Eli. Eli sends him back to bed, finally with the instructions that say, if you hear the voice again, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then what happens is really interesting. We're told in verse 10, "Now the Lord came and stood there. Now Samuel can see God." We've been told before, earlier in the chapter, that the word of God has not been revealed to him. And now God is standing right there. And God says, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel responds, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We didn't read through the rest of the chapter, but what is given Samuel to prophesy is makes Samuel very uncomfortable. He has to pronounce judgment on his mentor, Eli, and his priestly tribe. He doesn't want to. It's scary. It makes him uncomfortable. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But he does it. We see that same plays on the words seeing, sight, and knowing in the passage we read from John's Gospel today. Nathanael comes to Jesus very skeptical. Can anything good come from Nazareth? His expectations are just like Samuel's. You know, okay, wherever God is going to be, however God is going to reveal himself, however the Messiah is going to come, he's not going to come from Nazareth. It's that poor, uneducated town of rowdies. But then Nathanael is surprised because Jesus knows him. And he wonders, how does Jesus know me? Where did you meet me before? But it's because Jesus has seen him. And so Nathanael comes to follow Jesus too. I've been thinking a lot about these readings and praying about them as we celebrate Human Relations Sunday today in the United Methodist Church, and as we get ready to honor Dr. King tomorrow, that Epiphany night shows us that our human relations are not in very good shape. The world is most definitely not the way God would have it to be. Racism, classism, heterosexism, terrorism, misogyny, abuse of the planet, none of that is the vision God has for the reign of the kingdom. What are we going to do about that? I've been thinking a lot about Martin Luther King and how much his response is like Samuel's. He has a dream. Martin Luther King says, "I have a dream." And he makes a complete and total commitment to the fulfillment of that dream. He does hard and difficult things because he is called, he is convicted by that vision God has given him. And he prophesies. And he brings black and white and young and old and rich and poor together to change the world. But you will notice that famous speech, he says, I have a dream. Not we have a dream. I have a dream, and I have made a commitment to that dream given to me by God. We are in the process here at St. Matthew's of visioning, of looking in the light at who it is God is calling us to be. We are a congregation generous and loving. We are committed to social justice. We are committed to outreach. We are committed to one another. We are a we with a vision whose budget will not support it. I was in a conversation this week with lay leadership in the congregation, and one of the gentlemen in the room said, you know, we can't have a we without an I. And I nodded my head, and that's exactly what's in these lessons today. It's not about the we. It's about the I. It's about the dream, the call, and the response to that call that each one of us makes. It's hard. It's very hard to respond to God's call. It's very hard to hear what God is calling us to do as individuals. We are just like Samuel. God couldn't be calling us with messages for somebody else. Or we react just like Nathaniel. Well, this isn't what I was expecting. This can't possibly be what I'm being called to. I'm sure Dr. King had that same response the first time that vision, that dream came to him. And look what it cost him to be faithful. And look how it changed everything. The dream isn't fulfilled. We're still fulfilling the dream. But because one person said, I have a dream and I will be faithful to it, things changed. Now that God that we met in Psalm 139, who knows us and who loves us so intimately and so closely, that God has a purpose for each one of us, has a call for each one of us. We may not know what that call is. We may feel like Samuel and say, it's not God talking to me, somebody else. We may say, you don't meet my expectations. But God has a funny way of getting our attention and really, really making us go into that vision if we will only say, I will go, I will hear. We're told in Psalm 139 that God hems us in behind and before. That can be a tight and uncomfortable space. When I was trying to discern through high school and college what I was being called to be, I was sure I knew what God was asking me to do. I was good at foreign languages. I loved politics and history. I was interested in the world around me. I was going to go learn how to be a diplomat and join the Foreign Service. And that's exactly what I did. I went to the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown. I got out of there, and the Reagan budget cuts went into effect. For the next 2 years, they didn't offer the Foreign Service exam. Now, it didn't occur to me to say, I misheard you. It didn't call to me to say, hey, wait a minute, God, you know, here I am. I'm being faithful. What happened? I was sitting in the congregation in the small Episcopal church I belonged to after college in Natick. And clear as day, I heard God say, teach my people. It wasn't what I was expecting to hear. My first reaction was, oh, that message is for Sally sitting next to me. You know, I had invested my time and my treasure in what I thought God wanted. Well, I don't take suggestions well. And I'm sort of a stubborn sort, and God had to hit me over the head 10 times or so before I got myself off to seminary and learned how to teach, and now I stand before you 30 years later. But what God wanted from me was not what I thought my gifts were. I was speaking with a clergy friend in Michigan the other day, and we were talking about these lessons, and he said to me, you know, we are not chosen for what we see in us. We are chosen for what God sees in us. We may not see the same thing. So, what do we do? How do we know? When we are being called, it will be uncomfortable. It will not be what we thought we were going to do. It will not feel warm and fuzzy most of the time. It will feel uncomfortable. We'll want to run away from it. We'll want to do something else. We want to just ignore it. God is going to hem us in. He's going to hem me in, and he's going to hem you in. In the place in your life where you feel uncomfortable, where you maybe never thought you were intended to go, that's the place where God is calling your name. And it is up to each one of us as an I to say, I have this dream. God has given me this dream. I have a part to play. And I am convicted, I am convinced, I am committed with my whole heart and soul to that call. And when we do that, when each one of us commits as an I, then we can have a we. Then we can have a vision to who we're called to be collectively. But it starts with I will, I hear, I am going to. It's scary stuff. So here is what I would like to leave you with this week. What is the dream that God is calling you to? What is the dream that each one of us is called to? How do we help each other dream? Who are we as eyes? And who are we as a we? And how does God's call come through loud and clear in the way we respond as individuals and the way we respond as a community of faith? What is God who knows you and loves you? What is God dreaming in you? Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the love you show for each one of us, for the closeness in which you hold each one of us. Give us the courage. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom to say, yes, I will. To say, here I am, Lord. Send me. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn 230, 2130 in the Black Hymnal.